Progress.
Okay. Just one hashlama from the last year. We left off with a discussion of tam matzah v'inan v'leka. And we saw basically three shitas about whether you need tam matzah or not. The Tosos here, Tosos elsewhere, who parallel the Tosos Rush here and the Reina Yonu, say, no, it's really about lechem oni. Assume you don't need tam matzah. There's no din of tam matzah, it's just a din of lechem oni. The Bahag, who assumes it's not lechem at all, lechor, why does he assume that? Because there's no special din of tam matzah, so if there's a problem, it must be that it's not lechem at all. And again, the Rosh Mishantz is on his side. So here you have the Tosos Rush and the Rabbeinu Yona, and the Bahag, and the Rosh Mishantz. They assume you don't need tam matzah. Then we have the really das yachid, radical shita of the Meiri, shot in the Rif. Again, the Rif didn't exactly say it's the Meiri's shot in the Rif, and the Meiri doesn't paskin that way. But the Meiri in Pesachim, Bidas Harif, says you need tam matzah. You need to taste tam matzah just like maror. Again, the Rashi also compares matzah to maror and assumes that, oh, they're very parallel. He just doesn't tell us what he's going to say when he gets to Pesachim Daf Kuf Tes Amud Beis, so I'm reluctant to promise anything. And then we have the, who did we have? We have the Meiri here. And really all the Achronim follow in his derech, who assume the Meiri himself, and all the Achronim follow in his derech. I don't remember who I put on the Makorah sheet. Who assume that you do need roy litom tam matzah midin kol haroy lebila v'chuli. Again, what's the din? We left off kol haroy lebila. Whenever there is a din d'oraisa which has certain details that are not ma'akev, even though those details aren't ma'akev, you need to be roy. It's ma'akev to be at least roy to fulfill those details, those pratim. Some classic examples are the original case, Bila, a mincha, it says blulav ha-shemen, l'chachila, you have to mix the oil well with the flour. If you don't mix the oil with the flour, you're still yotze, but it has to be roy to mix with flour. If it's too big to mix, then you're not yotze. Bikurim, the Gemara says in a few places, you have to be kore, the mikra bikurim when you bring it, it's not ma'akev, but if it's not roy to say the mikra bikurim, you're not yotze. Or chalitza, classic example, you have to do the certain amiros. You have to say the text in the chalitza as well, right? She has to say lo avaya mila hakim lach me'en yav mila hakim lach shem Yisrael lo avaya mi, and he has to say lo chafati lekachta. It's not ma'akev. If they do the chalitza without saying anything, it's not ma'akev. It has to be ra'i labila. They have to be able to speak. If the woman or the man is a mute, then they're not yotzei the chalitza. And that's a principle in Kol Torah Kula, which the Meiri applies here, and many, many, many Achronim repeat as well. They tie it in nicely to the Rashbam. In Pesachim, the Rashbam says, L'chachila you need to taste Tam Matzah, just if you don't, it's not Ma'akev, right? In Bola Matzah Yatza. If L'chachila you need to taste Tam Matzah, then at least needs to be, it's not Ma'akev that you do it, but it's Ma'akev that it be Ra'ui L'chach. And this is all the Achronim take this approach. They all assume this is the Pshat in the Rambam, because the Rambam says, and when he quotes our sugya, you need the tam, that a matzah mevushelus will show us is no good because it doesn't have tam of pas. What does that mean? Doesn't sound like he's saying lechem oni like the Tosfos Rosh and the Reina Yonah. Then he should have said lechem oni. It's clear, he's clearly not saying like the Bahag, that it's not called lechem anymore. Because in Hilchas Brachos, he says, if you cook the bread and the pieces are still there, it is still called lechem. We know in Hilchas Brachos, he thinks it's still lechem, it's still hamotzi, even after you cook it. So, lechora, he means like
the Meiri and the Rashba and the Ritva here again, all the Achronim assume that that is the Shita of the Rashba and the Ritva here, right? Let's just put the Rashba, the Ritva, they say it's Tamatza L'chor, the Rambam thinks Tamatza, because it says you need Tam Hapas, which sounds like you need Tamatza. They say you need Tamatza. They don't talk about how to be Miyashiv that with the Sugya. If Balamatza Yatza, but all the Achronim assume, basically the Achronim assume that no one is this weird Shita that the Meiri accuses the Rif of having, and that you actually need to taste it, and that Balamatza Yatza, everyone seems to agree Balamatza Yatza, the Rambam certainly agrees to that, and therefore the Achronim assume that they all hold like the Meiri said here, and that's why the Achronim assume that that's the Maskana, that you need Roy Latam Matza.
Why would the Rambam use Lashon like
Tam Matzah? As opposed to Tam Matzah? That is a, it is a great question. What I'm going to say is nonsense, It would really tempt you. If you just had that, you say, oh, the Rambam's the Bahag, right? Once you cook something, it's not bread anymore, and that's why it's not Lechem. The only problem is we know that's not true. What is the Perek Gimel L'Chachas? Wherever the Rambam brings down the sugya, the Braisa earlier, he's very clear that if you cook bread and it is still, the pieces are still intact, and the tzura is still intact, then it is still hamotzi and berkes hamotzi, and it is still lechem. So why he says tam pas instead of tam matzah, I don't, you know, I wish I had a great hesber. I don't really have a hesber. It's not necessarily a problem. You know, why does he say tam pas? Because the taste of matzah is the taste of unleavened bread. And when you cook it, it's not that it now tastes leavened, it's that it doesn't taste so bread-like. But I still wish I had a better hesber, and, I'm certainly open to hearing one. What we just left off with last time was people started asking about the Svara, which I had hoped to have time to stick in. I mean, I hoped to have time for more than that as well. Why should there, the relationship between matzah versus maror, over here, what we're basically saying is that matzah is the same as maror. Not matzah the same as maror, but in this, matzah and maror are the same. There's just a principle. What's the principle? The principle is that when the Torah tells you to eat a specific food, to remember a specific thing, you need to get that taste. Part of the mitzvah of eating things as a zecher l'neis is to have the experience of tasting, not just the experience of looking at it before you put it in your mouth, but the experience of tasting it. However, the Tosos and the Rush, etc., assume that matzah is fundamentally different than maror, right? They assume that, no, there is a chiluk between matzah and maror. And then the interesting question becomes, why should there be a chiluk between matzah and maror in this sense? Now, on one level, I hope I'm trying to get that right. On one level, what's sort of the most obvious reason to say there'd be a chiluk between matzah and maror? Like, why should maror we care about the taste and bala maror lo yotza, but matzah we don't care about the taste? Because maror, the word maror, is a description of the taste. The word maror means bitter taste. So the word maror means a bitter taste. The word matzah does not mean matzah is not referring. Maror is specifically referring to the taste. It's not referring to anything else. Okay, there's a machlokes. Whether maror means the Chazal said there are five species of maror. Yes, five species of matzah, right? The chamesh is being nedagan. Five species of maror. Are those davgar or is it just anything bitter? And those are those that were common in their days. But clearly, maror refers to the taste. Matzah doesn't refer to the taste. Matzah refers to the lack of leavening, meaning to the baking process. Now, obviously, anything that has a taste because it's a certain species that grew in a certain way, anything that has a certain baking process ends up tasting different because of that baking process. But when the Torah says eat maror, it means taste the mar, because that's in the word maror. When the Torah says eat matzah, it's not referring to any tasting, just a maisa achilo v'alma, because it just says eat matzah. The ikar of eating matzah is that when you baked it, you didn't let it rise. And, you know, it's sort of, and the ikar of eating maror is to feel the bitterness. So it could just be from the word that we know maror has to do with taste, and matzah does not have to do with taste. You could just, and that I think is the most pashut shot. I'll mention in a second why I think the Rugged Chubber didn't say that. Let me just maybe say this a little different. Here we say every specific, let's see, all the achilos of Pesach need ti'imas ha'tam. Okay, then why, again, that's not such a hard svara. Because when you really have an experience of a food making you relive something, and the taste is part of that experience. How about to say we don't care about tamatz at all? So I think that would work best with the chiluk of maybe you have a very, I don't want to say fundamental or something else, but chiluk in the basic chafta shel mitzvah, maror equals bitter taste, matzah equals, you know, a maror describes the taste, let's say, better. Maror describes taste, and matzah does not describe the taste. So that's certainly one possibility, in which case we might say you just don't eat matzah at all. That's a din of achila. Achila is not about ti'ima, right? Achila is not about what it tastes like. Achila is about the fact that you ate it. Maror happens to be the achila is about what you taste, you taste like, and that's a chiddush of the word maror, which describes it by the taste. Okay, yeah. Interesting. You could, but not could you? Who did? That's the Rugged Chubber that I put in the back. The Rugged Chubber has a fascinating description. What's the Rugged Chubber bothered by? He's bothered by all the achronim. He's a Pirush of the Rambam. The achronim assume this is the sheet of the Rambam. Again, that's an assumption. It's more an assumption by process of elimination. He's bothered by all the achronim are machria like the Meiri here, that matzah needs ta'am, and te'imas ta'am, and mara needs to taste, and matzah needs roi to taste, which means that matzah also needs taste, just not on as strong of a level as mara. So if they both need taste, why do they need taste at two different levels? I think that's what bothered most people here. So says the Rugged Chubber something very clever, meaning basically they both need taste. But one needs ro'oi and l'chachila, and the other needs ma'akev. So why should there be that difference? Now, I'm sure one could speculate a lot here. It's all speculation. But I'll point out the fascinating Rugged Chubber. The Rugged Chubber says, no. There's obviously, it's the Torah really wants us to taste it. But not always when it comes to mitzvos do we go to the Tamiya mitzvos and say we define everything, you know, by, you know, did you sort of accomplish the philosophical idea in the Torah? The way halacha works is that there are certain dinim, and if you fulfill that formal din, you fulfill that din, and therefore matzah, the ikar of matzah is the maisa achila. The ikar of matzah is the maisa achila. You also are supposed to taste it, but since the ikar is the maisa achila, you're yotzi the maisa achila as long as it's roi l'bila. You're supposed to, the Torah wants you to taste it, l'chachila, but your yotze is your maisa achila. Okay, why not say the same thing for maror? Your yotze is your maisa achila. So the Rugged Chubber suggests that this Gemara is only talking about bezman hazeh, when matzah is d'oraisa, because it says by erev tochlu matzos, but maror is d'rabbanan, because by maror it only says al matzos umurum yochluha, yochluhu, and that referring to Korban Pesach, and no Korban Pesach matzah is Darabanan, that's how we paskin, it's Machlok Zamorot, not Ripsach, we paskin, matzah is Vanna says, Doraisa Mar Darabanan, and he says the fundamental difference between Doraisas and Darabanans. Doraisas are objective actions divorced from the reason behind them. Now, divorce is too strong. Doraisa is defined by an objective action which acquires certain independence from the reason behind it. There are tamei mitzvos, but the doraisas are just to do a certain maisa. Derabanans are, that's just to fill the idea behind it. In derabanans, there's no objective. He ties us in. There's a famous Nesivas, the famous Meshachach in the beginning of Shoftim, that says Doraisa is like some objective status to the Chefza. Derabanans are, there's no objective status to the Chefza. There is just sort of a Chiyu Gavra that we should accomplish something the Rabbanan tell us to do. What he's saying is that by Derabanans, you have to fulfill the idea that the Rabbanan wants you to fulfill, or else you haven't done anything valuable. Because since it's only Derabanan, there's nothing objectively Kadosh about the Chefza. Doraisas, once the Torah says eat matzah, eating matzah becomes a mitzvah even if you don't really taste the unleavenedness of it and you don't re-experience the Yetzias Mitzrayim. In Doraisas, the power of the Torah commit, the fact that it's in the Torah gives the action independent value. In Derabanans, the action is independent value only if you accomplish the spirit of the law, only if you accomplish the goal of that action, and therefore it's ma'akev. What he's saying is that really, both says that Tzafnas Paneach, both Matzah and Maror, okay, this week we know his name is Yosef, both Matzah and Maror have a Maisa Achila, but the goal is Te'ima. There's a Maisa Achila, but the goal is Te'ima, so you should taste the Exodus, taste the bitterness, and taste the and taste the geula. But what's the difference? Matzah d'oraisa, the ikar is the objective maisa achila. Because in d'oraisas, the maisa gets an objective status. Why? Just as it's in d'oraisa. And it doesn't really matter. Not that it doesn't matter. L'chachila, one has to do it fully. But the ikar is the maisa. In d'rabanan, Bar d'rabanan, interesting, you would say, d'zman ha-mikdash, it was different. Then the ikar is the subjective experience, meaning the spiritual goal of the action, right? There's a certain spiritual benefit we're supposed to take from it. And therefore, he says the fundamental difference between Doraisas and Darabanans, that is a, and then he ties it into, I don't know if anyone got a chance to look at it, he goes through like all of Shas, all differences between Darabanans and Doraisas, but basically what he says is that it's only Zanazem, Marer is Darabanan, therefore it's the time that you have, not the Marer Atzmo, not the Chefza itself. But in Darabanans, and then he says, in Darabanans, Darabanans are only valuable if they accomplish something, if they improve you in some way, if they accomplish something. In Doraisas, then it's just the din. The rice is once you do the din, you do the din. The din takes on a life of its own. Okay, one could then maybe put, all kinds of things in there if you so desire. He's saying the difference between Doraisa and Darabanan, that is the Ragachover. Nirlin is daiti, that I think we could say something a little different. And therefore he's saying Te'ima is important in both of them. They're both the same. There's a Maisa Achila and the experience of Te'ima. But in Doraisas, the objective Maisa of the certain Chefza is what's Iker. The Chefza is Royal Bila. You did a Maisa Achila, good enough. In Darabanan, it's your subjective experience that's the Iker. Because Darabanan don't have the power to give substance to an objective Maisa. They only have the power to point out the value in a certain subjective experience. Yes, meaning he goes through a whole bunch of things. He brings rayas from all over Shas, Kedarko Bakodesh. And again, this very famous look at the Meshech Chachma in the beginning of Shoftim was a long, long essay about this. I don't think he quotes in this paragraph. I don't remember. But the famous Nesivos who says that if you do an Issa D'Oraisa B'Shogeg, it's still a big Aveira and you need to bring a Karban because you've done an objectively wrong action. If you do an Issa D'Rabbanan B'Shogeg, then you don't need any Kapara and it's not considered an Aveira. Not everyone agrees with the Sivas, says the Sivas, because you did not really have a negative spiritual experience. Okay, that's one approach. I thought you could say a different approach. Based on the, which is really based on the idea hinted at in the Trumas Hadesha, which the Avnei Nezer goes to town on. The Shagas Aryeh says the Trumas Hadesha is that I'm Oritz Gomer who doesn't know Chumash, and the Avnei Nezer goes back and says, Ben Chilas Kvodcha, the Trumas Hadesha knew Shas by heart backwards and forwards. He clearly knew Chumash and defends him. It's in the middle of the discussion of Birya, which is, you know, we're about to get up to. He says something fascinating, quotes a Rush. There's a Rush who says, you need a Kezias of Maror because we say the Bracha Alachilas Maror. Now, not everyone makes a big deal of this Rush. Some people take this Rush and say, that was a convenient proof that there's an idea of Achilas Mar. It's not because we say Abraham Achilas Mar, just like that was a convenient proof that there's Achilas Mar, so, you know, he just pulled it out of his sleeve very easily. But the Trumas Hadeshen, and in his footsteps, the Avnei Nezer and a bunch of other later Achronin, says, we see from here that Mita Oraisa, you don't need a Kezias of Mar. You only need a Kezias of Mar to justify the language of the Bracha. Okay, what exactly he means is you get into a little circular reasoning, so why they make the bracha and then have to justify it, etc. And there are a few answers to that, but I'm not going into it now. But the big chiddush of the Trumas Hadeshen is that he says, we only need a kezias because, like, we have to say that bracha. The fact that we're justifying lashon bracha is not as strong as if you needed a kezias based on the Torah. The Trumas Hadeshen says the Torah never tells you to need a kezias mara. It's only because that's the language of the Bracha. Again, she means either it's only the Takana D'Rabbanan who made the Brachos, or it's not even the Takana D'Rabbanan, it's just that they couldn't find another Bracha, and then we want to be consistent in our Bracha in order to have an easy language to use, a standard language. But the Shagas Aryeh says, what are you talking about? No, it's a Din D'Oraisa that you have to be Kezias Mara, and if now they Kezias Mara is D'Rabbanan, so it's Din D'Rabbanan you have to be Kezias Mara, but it's a regular Din coming from the Torah. Even as Manasseh is Rabbanan, it's just continuing what's in the Torah. And the Avnei Nezer goes back and explains how in the Torah, it never says you should eat Mara. It never says you should eat Mara in the Torah. Does it say you should eat matzah?
Yeah.
Yes. Ba'erev tochlu matzos. But it never says you should eat Mara. It never said you should, it actually says, interestingly, twice, you should eat matzah. It also says, V'achluas ha'basar b'layla hazeh, Sli'esh u'matzos al marorim yochluhu. And in Sli'esh, V'achluas ha'basar b'layla Sli'esh u'matzos, like eat it and eat matzahs, but don't eat marr, al marorim yochluhu. Eat it on marr, eat it with marr. Or in Pesach Sheni it says, al matzos u'marorim yochluhu, right? Because on Pesach Sheni there's no independent mitzvah of eating matzah, meaning there's no mitzvah to eat maror. The Torah never says eat maror. The Torah says to eat the Karban Pesach or eat the Karban Pesach and the matzah with maror, to accompany something else with maror. Now, here's the machlokas. I didn't bring all the makoros here. But the Shagas Aryeh says, no, don't be so medayik in the Lashon of the Torah. He says, we should always be medayik in the Lashon of the Torah. We have to be medayik in the Lashon of the Torah based on Torah Shemal Pen, the Midos Shav Torah and the Dresh Shemal Pen. And there's a heckish between matzah and maror. And if the Torah says to eat matzah, the Torah says to eat maror. Al pi midos haTorah nidresh lahem. So the Shagas Aryeh famously says the Trumas Hadeshen doesn't know what he's talking about, and there's a mitzvah to eat maror. Mitzvah d'oraisa to eat maror. And nowadays, drabanan, but it's still an echo of the d'oraisa.
Doesn't al also mean eat?
Yes.
So if you're eating it,
I understand from a practical perspective. If I tell you to eat a hot dog and to eat mustard, or I tell you to eat a hot dog with mustard, either way you have to eat the mustard. I fully understand that. I wasn't questioning that. But halachically, there are two different things, and let me illustrate that in a moment. Says the Shagas Aryeh, the Torah tells you to eat maror, even though it's not in the words of Pshuto Shel Mikra, it's in the words of Pshuto Shel Mikra. Al pi midos haTorah, it's in the words of the Mikra. Al pi midos haTorah nidresh bahem, and therefore nothing to talk about. However, at least in the old days. However, the Avnei Nezer defending the Trumas Hadesh says, no, the Torah tells you to eat matzah, never tells you to eat maror, just tells you to eat something else with maror. What does that mean? That clearly means that if we translate it to English, you have to eat the maror either way. But if we translate it to halachic conceptual categories, the machlok says, do you have to eat maror, or do you have to accompany your Pesach umatzah with maror? What's the difference? One difference is you need a kazayas of maror. And basically what the Avnei Nezer says is, you really don't say without a kazayas of maror. There's just a technical problem. You don't know how to say alachilas maror, and then how, what bracha do you say? There's no bracha to say for eating less than a kazayas, so you get a little stuck. And he said, if you have only less than a kazayas of maror, what should you do? You should sort of half say the bracha. He has a whole eitza there. But he really thinks you're yotzei without a kazayas. It's just you have a technical problem when it comes to the bracha. And he's medayek that from the Rosh, who strangely says, you need a kazayas because you say alachilas maror. And he reads it very literally. Anyway, lemaisa, what I'm saying is there could be maybe another nafgamina of this chiddush of the Trumas Hadeshen / Avnei Nezer, besides the fact that maybe you don't need a kazayas midaraisa or leikuba, is that back to our discussion. Really, the Torah wants you to taste matzah and to taste maror. But in matzah, the Torah told you there's a maisa achila. In maror, there's no maisa achila. There's no mitzvah of maisa achila of maror, only adding the maror to the Karban Pesach. If you're adding something to, just think about it again. If I tell you, there is a difference in telling you to eat a hot dog and eat mustard, or to eat a hot dog with mustard. As a matter of fact, everyone knows I should tell you the second option, not the first. Why? Because you don't want to eat mustard. You want the taste of the mustard to enhance the hot dog, right? And maybe that's what's going on here. The Torah tells you to eat matzah. The Torah tells you to eat Karban Pesach. The Torah tells you to use the maror to spice the Karban Pesach. I know nowadays we do it a little differently, but I'm talking about the Ikar Din. And therefore, the maror is only the taste without a maisa achila. The Torah never tells you to have a maisa achila. Just to have it with your food so it adds taste to your food. Well, the matzah, the Torah also wants you to taste, but also gives you a maisa achila. When there's a maisa achila, then even if you don't taste it, you're still yotzei, because you did the maisa. And the rule of the Torah is if you do a maisa without all the details, you're yotzei as long as it's roi lakach. When it comes to maror, there is no maisa achila of maror. There's only accompanying your Karban Pesach with maror, and once there's no maisa achila, if you don't have the taste, then you haven't accomplished anything. So I'm suggesting a second hesber. Maybe I'll pee the Trumas Hadeshen and the Avnei Nezer. You can say by matzah, even midoraisa, there's a difference, unlike the Rami Charmer. By matzah, there is a maisa achila, and therefore, your yotze kol sheroi letam. But by moror, there's no maisa achila. Yes, you have to eat it, Morty, but it never says the maisa achila. There's just including it in your food. Since there's no maisa achila, therefore we can't say you did the maisa achila even without the tam your yotze because it's roi labila. There is no maisa achila. If there is no maisa achila, maybe all there is the tam. Torah never told you to eat maror, so what are you supposed to do? So say the tam of maror together to enhance your other foods. So therefore, Ein mitzvah, ella v'tamo v'im lo tam lo yatsa. So basically what I'm trying to do to sort of explain the Meiri in the poskim here is say the Torah wants us to taste both of them. But in the maror, all there is the tasting. And in the matzah, there's also mais achila, which lets be yotzei without the tasting, because the nature of the Torah is that as long as you do the maisa, even if you don't do all the details, you are still yotzei. Why is there a maisa achila and matzah and not a maisa achila and maror? Either the Ragachavar, midaraisa, they're the same. But midrabanan, daraisas have powerful objective vices and darabanans don't. Or what I'm claiming is that even midaraisa, there's a maisa achila of matzah and not marah, v'haraya.
The Trumas Hadesh and Abdi'ezer are saying you need a kzaisa matzah, you don't need kzaisa marah. The Abdi'ezer are super clear about that, and the Trumas Hadesh is pretty clear about that. Based on their diuk and the rush, and therefore, since there's no ma'aseh chila by mar, all there is tam. You don't have tam, you haven't done anything. Since there is a ma'aseh chila by ma'aseh, even if you haven't done the tam and you don't have everything the Torah wants you to do, when you did the ma'aseh chila, you're still yotze.
Are you saying that both these answers could also fit with that you don't need tam ma'aseh with slight modifications? It's just much harder to want a reason for the ma'iri? Or
I think that is what I'm saying. Yes. Yes.
But you wouldn't make a bracha in Abdi'ezer, you wouldn't make a bracha in Mar?
So in the end of the Abdi'ezer, he comes up with a shara, he says, basically the kasha is the guy had a half a gzaisa Mar, what should he do? So he says, goes through, and says, oh, fine, you're really yotze. And then at the end he says, but what do you do with a bracha? And then he came up, He came up with a big chiddush, and he says, you know what? I have a raya. You can say a bracha even if it's not fully true, b'shas hadchak, even if it's not totally accurate. So he says, say a bracha. And then he says, but I'm not sure. So, and this is a trick which most poskim don't like. I've seen a few poskim use in very, very unique, strange, peculiar circumstances. He says, he's worried about a bracha latala, so instead, learn the halacha in the Rambam of Hilchas Chametz Matzah about the Seder, and when you get up to the part about Marer, and the Rambam says, "Say Baruch Hashem Elokim Achalom Shekh Hashem Zosven Olakilos Marer," read that Rambam, and then eat your half size of Marer, and then you've said the bracha, and it's not a bracha latala, because you can always say, "I was just learning the Rambam." We're not getting into that now. That's a very interesting question. There's a machlok in different rabbis I've seen. When someone is stuck in a shas hadchak where, you know, a shas hadchak, the level of Mark Twain's famous unfinished story, and they have a shas bracha latala, what do they do? And I know some rabbanim follow this idea of this Avnei Nezer, when you're really b'shas hadchak and there's no other option and you have to say a bracha levatala, but you're not allowed to say a bracha levatala, just learn that Rambam and then you can say, I'm just learning and I'm not saying a bracha levatala. It's a tremendous chiddush, but that's his psak in the end of this Avnei Nezer. Are fascinating.
Can I ask a question?
Okay, that's not a rish.
Can I ask a question?
That's an interesting question. He doesn't talk about it. And Yesh Ladon, is that a full time? Yesh, you know, it's an interesting question. Yes, you can ask. I think that was Abi.
Rambam in Hilchos Kores HaMatzah, when he deals about what you do bisman based on Mikdash.
Uh-huh.
So the bracha that you make, first you make Amotzi Rechem in Haaretz, then you say Al Achilas Matzah Sum Lom.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that a problem from the...
Then you say, al achilas matzos umrori. What would the Avnei Nezer say? The Avnei Nezer would say that the same thing he said for the Rosh, that really there's no mitzvah of achilas umrorim, it's just that we didn't have a better way to formulate the bracha. I admit that's dachuk, but
and he adds that if you eat the matzah, that's when you eat it together. If you eat it separately, make a separate bracha on the matzah and a separate bracha on the matzah.
Right. I mean, again, that's their whole diuk of the rush. That's only a technical issue that we couldn't think of a better way to say the bracha. Not
but this is the midoraisa, it's not midorabon.
Yeah, and a chanami, that even midoraisa, when we said the bracha, we had to say the bracha in a way that didn't fully accurately reflect the conceptual nature of the mitzvah. We don't have to like it. But that's what the Avnei Nezer would say. Okay, I'm ready to go weiter. Let us go weiter. Let's go back to Tosos. Let's jump into... Oh, we didn't read the Gemara yet. Okay. Bottom of Lamed Chesed Beis. Let's go. The Gemara says... last line. Earlier, if you were there, Rabbi Yochanan, Heich Marchal Zayis Meliach. Right? Remember, he had a Zayis Meliach, a salted olive, and he made a bracha before and after. Okay, we obviously paskin shlokas mil sayhu, he made ha'eitz, and al ha'eitz v'al pri ha'eitz. you could defend them on the Amar, we don't possibly like that shlokos or shahakol by saying you said shahakol more nefashos. But either way, how can you make a bracha? Came in shakal in the garina, batzar le shiura. Since he obviously didn't eat the pit, then an olive is actually less than a kezias. Why? Because the kezias is the olive with the pit. But when you eat it, you don't eat the pit. So when whoever eats an olive eats less than a kezias. Interestingly, we're not going to chazer this. We discuss this in like the second shiur of the year or something. But remember, we mentioned the machlokes. Which bracha are we talking about? Hechi mevarich. Tosos here already says, "Hainu davka brach shel achrav shavinan shir v'al brach shel fun afil pasmi gashir dasal olahanos me'olam azeh v'lo bracha bein l'neachila bein inyan shtia." Obviously, the kasha is only bracha achrona needs a shir, but bracha rishona is even a mashu because bracha rishona is asal olahanos me'olam azeh v'lo bracha. You can't do even a mashu b'nisser, and that's what almost everyone agreed with him. If you remember, we saw three other shitos. We saw a Kolbo, quoting Rav Haigon, who said, actually, the Gemara's Kasha is also on Bracha Rishona. You also don't make a Bracha Rishona unless the next Zayas, which is very radical, which tied into our Chakira, that maybe Bracha Rishona is not a matter, it's just about Shevach of Achila. We saw the Kesef Mishnah, who said, like Tosos, but not the lumpus of Tosos. He said, of course you make a Bracha less than a Shear, just because you might end up eating a Shear, so they wanted to make a low plug. But really, theoretically, you should only make a bracha on a shir. And then we saw that they compromised. The Rebbeinu Yonah right here says, of course you make a bracha on less than a shir, but you only say shahakol. Meaning shahakol is just also a husband only shalom bracha, but you wouldn't make the other brachas, because the other brachas is only chiv shevach for a special achila. Again, I in your notes from the beginning of the year, we're not going to go back to Rosh Hashanah here, so let's continue. What? Rashi here could be read like the Kolbo, quoting Rav Haigon. He doesn't say terribly much. Rashi in Sukkah says, like Tosos here, so you have to figure out how to be Miyashiv that. Otherwise, it would be very perfect. Maybe say Rashi in Sukkah. It doesn't have to be like Rashi here, but you're right. I just don't want to build on it, because Rashi in Sukkah. I'm really, Misavish is good. The Gemara is a very technical answer. You think the Shir Kazayis is a big olive? Kazayis baby being the Shir Kazayis is a median olive. Very simple, elegant solution. You think that the Shir Kazayis is a big olive? The Shir Kazayis is a median olive. And Rav Yochanan ate a big olive, and a big olive, even without the pit, is still the size of a median olive. And that's why he said, Ebracha achrona, ditznan zayis, amr lo katam lo zayis, as the mish, gadol, as mish says, the kazayis that we say for shear is not large or small, el benini, but rather is an average, a median olive. Zeo aguri, and that's the nickname, zayis aguri, v'amr lo aguri shmo, el avruti shmo, it's really avruti, aguri is a nickname, v'amr lo samrusi shmo, or maybe samrusi, v'lam nikr shmo aguri, shesham lo agur bit socho. And why is it called aguri? Because the shemen is gathered up in it, which Rashi says means, and I don't fully understand exactly the science behind this, that it's not sort of absorbed in its flesh, but it's like very easily ready to come out. Others say agur besocho means it keeps its that through the season it keeps its oil inside very well, and even if there's a lot of rains, it doesn't lose its oil.
It's different because it brings like an apple. You can cut an apple and leave it on the table; nothing comes out. You cut a zayit or you cut something else like that, or on the table.
So that's what Rashi is saying, that it comes out very easily in grapes and olives. The other things, not as easily. We have to do some experiments because there's other things besides apples in the world. The apples is a shmizy one. What about the plum? What about the orange, etc.? But okay, we should do some experiments and see. Rashi probably did more experiments than we did, so we will defer to him for now because he had less junk food, so he probably ate fruit more than we did, and he probably squeezed his own fruit more than we did. Now, the Tosos here, let's go to Tosos. Bachelet Shiur, this is a big Tosos. Many, many sugyas hidden in here. All about, all one sugya of Shiur. Hainu davka brach shel achrav v'inyan shiur, v'al brach shel fun afil pasmi gashir, ta'asu l'hanos v'al mazeh b'lo bracha v'in l'achil v'inyan shtiyah. That's his first point. Bracha Rishona is a matter of an isser. You can't do any isser. That's a different ball game. We're only talking about the chiyuv shevach of a bracha achrona, and that's only on a kezayis. Aval brach shel achrav v'inyan shiur. Okay, now he says, b'in l'achil v'inyan shtiyah. Why saying b'in l'achil v'inyan shtiyah? not really for the bracha rishona. Obviously, if it's also a husband, olmaz abelo bracha, pashat bein lenechil bein yishtiyah, he's segueing to bracha achrona. What about bracha achrona of shtiyah? After all, minastam, if there's a shir for achila, there's a shir for shtiyah of bracha achrona. Meaning, if there's a shir for ala mechya or al ha'etz, there's also a shir for ala gefri al priyagefen. That everyone agrees with. But what is the shir? Right? We don't necessarily know. After all, in other things, the shir of achila and shtiyah are not the same. So what is the shir? Like, for example, in Yom Kippur, we know the achil of shir is kikoseves, and the shir of achil is kikoseves, and the shir of shtiyah is kimlo lugmav, which are not the same. So how about here? So basically, no one knows. Nowhere in Shas is there even a remez or a clue as to what the shir of shtiyah for bracha achrona is. It's all based on comparing it to something that's not bracha achrona in Shas. And the problem is, or to something that's not shtiyah bracha achrona in Shas, the problem is that there are many possible comparisons. Says Tosfos, aval b'bracha shlachar bina shir m'lo lugav. Okay, Tosfos is a unique shita, only found in Tosos and Brachos, and there are two Tosos and Brachos that talk about it, and one of them says Mefurish, it's not Melo Lugmav. So, 10 blot apart. So this is a unique Shitas Yachid, meaning you go to the Rambam, you won't find the Shita. You go to Tosos and other Masechtas, you won't find the Shita. You go to the Rush, you won't find the Shita. You go to Tosos and Tesla and Bezi, he says specifically, it's not Melo Lugmav. Even though he doesn't tell you what it is, strangely enough. But this one, Tosfos, holds the shear is Melo Lugmav. Okay, and where does he get Melo Lugmav from? What are the two places the Gemara says the shear is Melo Lugmav? What? Yom Kippur, the shear shtiyah is Melo Lugmav, to be chayev, and Koshal Bracha, or you have to drink Melo Lugmav. So Tosfos says, okay, we find a lot of Melo Lugmav by shtiyah. Alkein yishlizar lishtos b'koshal bracha melo lugmav kedei shivarch la'acharav mei ein shalosh brachos. Okay, I broke my head too long. It wouldn't be too long if I found something. But too long to not find anything, you don't know in advance. Trying to figure out what these words of Tosfos mean. I don't really understand what these words of Tosfos mean. It says, therefore, you should be nizar in a koshal bracha, drink below lugmav, in order to say a main shalosh, say alagefen, alpriya gefen afterwards. I don't really understand what this Tosfos means. Besides the fact that Tosfos in the Testament Beis says the shir is not below lugmav. Okay, there are different Bali Tosfos who have different opinions. Yeah, that's not the end of the world. But there are two fundamental problems with this. One is what Rabbi Akiva Eger means to say. Rabbi Akiva Eger here in the Gilyan Hashas says, Ayin le'el lam zayin ben aleph. What was the el lam zayin ben aleph? Tosfos says, you need to drink a little lugmav from a koshal bracha. Tosfos assumed, just because that's the din of koshal bracha. It says, we had it on our Korah sheet once. Remember, shasam lo lugmav yatza, lo shasam lo lugmav lo yatza by Kiddush. In order to be yotzei the koshal bracha, you need to drink a little lugmav. So what do you mean you have to be nizer, drink a little lugmav in order to say a bracha achrona? You need to be nizer, drink a little lugmav, because that's the din of koshal bracha. Even if there be no such thing as a bracha achrona. Not to mention the fact that, the Slach points out, Tosfos doesn't make any sense. Lo yitzir, there is no other need to drink Melo Lugmav. You wouldn't have to drink Melo Lugmav to say a bracha achrona. You don't have to eat or drink enough to say a bracha achrona. No one ever says that if I want to have one chocolate chip, I should be nizer to have more chocolate chips to say a bracha achrona. No one ever says if I want to have one small bite of a cookie, I should eat more cookies so I can say bracha achrona. No, if you eat less than a shir, you don't say bracha achrona. If you eat more than a shir, you say bracha achrona. There's no one who ever, there's no svara to say that you have to eat enough to say a bracha achrona. So this toast is very strange because he tells you, why should you drink the koshal bracha a lo lugmav in order to say a bracha achrona? That's not a valid reason. But really, there's a different reason that he doesn't say, which is to be yotzei the koshal bracha. So what Tosfos means by this, I have no idea. The only person I found, I found lots of achronim who said Tzarech Iyun. The only achron I found, you could tell me what it says there, who gives pshat in Tosfos is the Gra, and you may know I'm here, but he doesn't give pshat in Tosfos. He just says, well, if you change the words of Tosfos to say something else, then you can make sense of it. Maybe what Tosfos really meant is you should drink a revius, because he changed his mind, he is mesufik what the shear is. And so he says, well, you don't want to drink something that's a suffix shear, so drink a revius to have a vade shear. And then he's similar to the Rush Then he's similar to the Rush, but it's, you know, changing a lot of words in Tosas, so I really don't know.
We just said there,
don't contemporary posts can say that all the time.
So what you say, and that's a suffix, whether you do this or that. So to stay away from that suffix of whether you have to make a shako,
no, because
then we're clear what you're doing.
No, because what you're saying is you have to drink a shear in order to. Hold on a second. No, what you're saying is you have to drink a shear in order to have the right bracha rishona. He says.
But go away from the suffix of whether you make a bracha for less than a shear. If you eat less than a shear, there's a suffix whether you make a shakal or not. So to get away from that suffix.
But that's not what Tosa says. Tosa says in order to say the bracha achaz mein shalosh. You're saying a different reason.
Say that, so because you're not going to say that.
But then he should have said what he meant. I think Joel Rich, if I heard him correctly, because sometimes people talk at once on the Zoom, says, don't the poskim say you should always drink more to avoid a suffix bracha achrona? Say, yes, because the poskim have a suffix what the shear of bracha achrona is, but Tosos didn't have a suffix. He just says, it's poshetim, that's mul lugmav. Yeah. So I was just thinking that maybe you could connect this line of Tosos to the next line of Tosos. What does the next line of Tosfos say? V'hari haya omer b'bor nefashos, kevin delav bracha chashuva hi afilu b'botzer m'shirur m'varchim bor nefashos rabos. Right, the Re said that bor nefashos say even on pachas mikashir. V'lo nira. And then the Stam Tosfos said, I don't agree. Whoever wrote our version of Tosfos says, I don't agree with the Re. Kevin delav bracha chashuva hi afilu b'botzer m'shirur. Since Bor Nefashos is to be parallel to Ala Gefi Al Priya Geffen, meaning or Birkadam Azon or Ala Mechir or what have you, Ki Hechid Ala Geffen by Shira Bor Nefashos Rabos Nami by Shira. Just like the Bracha Achmein Shalos needs a Shira, Bor Nefashos needs a Shira. I mean, the Re says Bor Nefashos is not Chashuva, it's not parallel to the real Brachos Achronos. After all, what's a nickname for Bor Nefashos in Shas? We saw this.
Loklum.
Right? Bor Nefashos is nicknamed Loklum. And the other Danto says, no. I understand nicknames. Nicknames are funny. Don't believe all nicknames. It's just a Durabanan extension of the real Bracha Achrona should have the same rules. What I'm just thinking is that maybe this line of Tosos is based on the upcoming lines in Tosos, and that's the segue. Let's say I drink only 1 ounce of wine in the Koshel Bracha. According to the Re, what Bracha Achrona should I say? What? Bor Nefashos. According to the other day in Tosos, what Bracha Achrona should I say? Nothing. So if I drink less than a shear of wine, then I'm a suffix whether I say Bor Nefashos or not. What's the way out of that suffix? If I drink a full shear of wine, of a little lugmav, then I for sure say, Alagev, Yal, Priyagev, and I get out of the suffix. Maybe that's what Tosos means. He meant, as long as you're less than a shear, you're in suffix or nefashos land because of the Re. Once you get to the full shear, now you're in Vade Alagefi Al Priyagefen, Vade Bracha Achmein Shavosh land, and now you escape Sveikos. And maybe that's what Tosos meant without changing the words of Tosos. Just saying, this line was really based on the upcoming lines. Could he have written it a little better and first had that and then, okay, but, you know, he wrote it well enough. He says, I got into something, now I have to point something out about it because of what I'm about to say. So, you know, I would probably rather do that than the grunt. Maybe this Tosos holds that fundamentally. One does not have to drink a melo lugmav for every kosher bracha, even though that would be against Tosfos and Lamed Zayin. Or that different people could share the melo lugmav. So what does Tosfos mean here? Again, forgetting about Rabbi Akiva Eger's question. Stick with the Tzlach's question, which is that you're not chayav to say a bracha achrona. What does Tosfos mean here? Tosfos, what is his lashon? Yizahir. Again, this is not the one we're dealing with. I just want to get Shaman Tosos. Lishtos Milo Lugmav Kidei Sheyavarech Bracha Achas Mein Shalosh. What does Tosos mean here? The Pshat in Tosos is that you should always be careful to eat enough to say a bracha achrona. And therefore, you should never have one nibble of a cookie, and you should never have one chocolate chip, and you should never have, you know, one tiny bite of bread. You always should eat enough to say bracha achrona, which is unprecedented, and misvara and in poskim, which is just very strange. Like, why do you have to say bracha achrona? If there's a shear, there's a shear. If not, not. So basically, here is the pshat in Tosos, is that it is a chiddush gadol that lichatchila you should always eat a shear so you can be zoche in the mitzvah of bracha achrona. Okay, that is a bit, that's not
fair. The case I was thinking about is when you, if you're sipping tea throughout the day.
That's because you're getting out of a suffix, because there's a machlok. Sure. That's to get out of a suffix, because when you sip, there's a machlok zachrona, whether it's tarif to a shiur or not. So after you sipped, you now have a machlokas, whether you drink a shiur or not, because the machlokas, whether sipping tea is mitzarif. And that's why to get out of the suffix, the Mishmur says on Shemaisa, okay. Leave some over at the end. But that's all to get out of Sfeikos. Give me a second. What the Gra says in the Imre Noam, what the Imre Noam is notes of a Talmud on the Gra's Shir and Maseches Brachos. We don't have that in all Shas. But obviously, can you do it? Anything which is written in more than, you know, Rashi Prakim code words was not written by the Gra. That's all Talmidim. But this is great, a whole Masechet where we have notes of a Talmud on the Gra. Right. The Gra, he changes the Girsa. He changed the gear. So Tosin says what he means is, no, that you only have to be nizhar to avoid sfeikos. That's what the Shulchan Aruch is full of, right? Be nizhar to avoid sfeikos. Remember back in bread, be nizhar not to eat too much donuts to avoid sfeikos. So the Rosh and Rabbeinu Tam and eating their meal, etc. Always be nizhar to avoid sfeikos. And we saw in this Megor sheet, be nizhar in various sfeikos. Be nizhar in all the sfeikos. Really be nizhar in the sfeikos, which is a mafurish rush here. And what does he mean? He's the only one who also answered Rikim Eger's guy. He says, therefore, since you have to drink Milo Lugmav anyway, and Milo Lugmav is a suffix. Tos retracting saying the Shira is Milo Lugmav. Tos retracting and saying, no, the Shira is suffix Milo Lugmav, suffix evades a suffix revius. Let's take the two ends. And suffix whether the Shira is Milo Lugmav or revius. He also throws in something in the middle, but that's not necessarily there. Therefore, drink a revius to avoid the suffix. That's what the Gra is. Magia, he says, Tosos doesn't mean you have to drink a little Lugmav. He adds words in Tosos. There's two dechaks here. Number one, he says Tosos is changing his mind from saying the shear is more Lugmav. Number two, he's adding words. Tosos says, Yizar lishos more Lugmav, but he means Yizar achar shashas more Lugmav lishtos revius. And then, Tosos just the same as what we find in the Shulchan Aruch.
Where we're reading the tremendous chiddush of Tosos that you always have to do this, he says it's only Malay, and it's only Kosher Bracha. Maybe he's requiring to be careful to drink the shiur only on the Kosher Bracha in order to be mechabit Kosher Bracha. Some coffee doesn't
answer. Interesting. Now, why does he only say Kosher Bracha? The Gra is very mitzvah. Why he only says Kosher Bracha? Because a regular cup, have a sip, and your vade pater, kosher bracha. Once you have to have a little blood mummy, then kosher bracha, then you get to suffix territory, so you get out of suffix territory. And what Simcha is suggesting is that, no, in the first shot, maybe he just means it's not mechubah to not make a bracha achron on a kosher bracha. And maybe that is a big chiddush, but it's a very small big chiddush. Only in kosher bracha. I thought maybe he's just saying kosher bracha because... excuse me for being the balabatish one here, because that's the common case. When someone drinks a cup of wine because they're in the mood to go drinking, they always drink a shear of wine. Why would Tosos have to talk about it? No one ever drinks less than a cup of wine, because that's a stupid thing to do. Unless you're doing it for ritual. For anyone who's drinking wine for their hana'ah always drinks a shir, and it doesn't have to tell them what to do. The only time people might ever have a mina of drinking less wine than normal is when they're doing it for ritual purposes, to be yitz design. Ah, a guy who likes wine drinks a cup of wine. Right? I've never been to a restaurant and someone ordered wine and drank less than a shir. I've never been in my house and someone says, oh, I'd love some wine, and drinks less than a shir. It only comes up if someone has to drink wine to be yotzei a certain ritual, then they might be tempted to drink less than a shir, because it could be they don't even like the wine, it could be they don't want to get drunk, it could be they're not thirsty, etc. Then, so, I don't know if you have to make a diuk, but it is a nice diuk. I will just point out that maybe the gra has a lot of advantages, but you have to change tosos, right? You have to be magia tosos, okay? The gra was willing to be magia. I just thought that maybe you could say, either what I'm saying is stupid, or someone in your book has to say this. So tell me who in your misifta says like I'm about to say.
But I don't like the position you're putting yourself into.
Okay. So I wonder if fine. I'll make you feel better. I'm for sure right and smarter than anyone else. No problem. I just wonder if someone in the misifta says what I'm about to say. So you'll tell me if they do. And if not, just write in the margins, they say someone said in the sifta. Maybe you could say like this. It's based on the next suffix of Tosos. It's also, same idea. You only have to be Nizhar in order to avoid Sveikos. Maybe you only have to be Nizhar in order to avoid Sveikos. And what Tosos is saying is, Alpi. Alpi machlokes ri ve bal hatosfos be shirah haba'a, right in the next line, im shasa pachos mikashir Nichnas l'safeg bori nefashos safeg klum v'lachein yishte kashir k'dei lotzeis min hasafeg. Meaning, that way you can say a brach achvein sholosh. Until now, you get into a safeg bori nefashos. Maybe drink a shir, so you can say brach achvein sholosh. And that's why Tosfos thought you should drink a shir. Maybe, I don't know if anyone says that in the Masifta, maybe that way you can explain Tosfos without making too big of a Kiddush and without changing the words of Tosfos, which is make a very small Kiddush. The small Kiddush that this line of Tosfos is based on the next line, that's not such a big deal. And there's also that Tosfos in the end still has a bit of a suffix about the machlokes between the Re and the anonymous author. Which also, I don't think such a big fish.
Doesn't the next line just say that to all Borin Hashem? Is a question of whether you shear or not?
Yes. So what you're saying is that, according to this, Tosfos should have said, not Koshel Bracha. One should never eat anything Pachos Mikashir in order to avoid the suffering of Borin Hashem. And then why does Tosfos only say Koshel Bracha? That's what you're asking?
And also, what does that have to do with one?
Right, okay, which is really the same question. What's this one specific example? Now, just to be fair, the Re is also talking about L'chor of wine, because the response to him was, Teknua Keneged Ala Geffen. Why not Teknua Keneged Ala Mechian, Keneged Ala Eitz, and Keneged Birkas HaMazon? So obviously, their original machlokas was that wine, and that comes in the other Rishonim. Also, the Rashi says, how can the Re say, like, a little wine is Borin HaFashos and a lot is Ala Geffen? You know, the bracha doesn't change when you have a lot. I admit that's a kasha. You know, and here my answer is going to be a little dochuk. The answer is because usually people don't eat pachos mikashir because it's not really normal. When was the last time you ate less than a kazayis of something? It's pretty rare. Really?
I had a sip of water last night.
What?
I had a sip of water last night.
You had a sip of water? Why did you have a sip of water? I don't mean to bother.
My throat is
hurting. Ah, but then maybe you don't say bracha. Oh, exactly. You just proved my point. The only reason you need a sip of water is for medical reasons. And then your pots are for bracha, as we'll see later, right? That maybe that's not shosamayim litzmo. That's maybe like kanak de umtsa. The way the postgum, that's the maskana of the postgum in the end. So it could be that really the only hechitimtsi that was common in his days of people having a little sip was kosher bracha, because it was only for ritual purposes and people didn't really want to drink the wine, and therefore he had to address that. But okay, I admit that's still a good kasha.
Just one more thing. Is it possible to say that the language of Mishli Zahar is like, it's kind of like in the first answer?
You're saying go to the first answer, and it's not such a chiddush. Yeshli Zahir doesn't mean like if you're a decent Jew, you should do this. Yeshli Zahir means if you're the Chafetz Chaim, you should do this.
Could it be that there's like all these weird cases where people drink like a tiny sip because they think they're doing something, like after Shalosh Shabbos of Nekoshel Bracha before Havdalah, they take a tiny sip and they think they're accomplishing something?
Okay, could be, but then you have to get into all the other sheets about that and see what Tosos held, which I don't have on my sleeve. Okay, let's leave it at now. If you want to have a fourth pshat, I don't know if there are a million other pshat in there. What do they bring? Only the Gra? Okay. Look, the Gra is great if you're willing to change the words of Tosos. I'm just always, the reason I'm reluctant to change the words of Tosos also is because the Tosos Reina Peretz here is word for word the same as our Tosos. So that's already two different manuscripts of Tosos, right? The one they published Tosos and Peretz from, and the one Sansino published Arshas from, which say the same thing, which makes it a little less likely that it's the wrong Girsa, and you have to change more than just one word. So I'm a little reluctant to change the words, but, okay, the Gra is certainly the smoothest. If you're willing to change the words, it's the smoothest, because it also answers Rikiv Eger's Kasha. If not, maybe Simcha's right, maybe... maybe, you know, Yesh Lezahar. Okay, you can take it however you want. Let's go back to the different shitas as to what the shear of shtir for bracha achrona is. So Artos says mul logmav, even though by the time the Gra gets to it, Artos says safik mul logmav, safik kibetza, safik revius, or at least safik mul logmav, safik revius, which accomplishes the same thing. So those Lulugma is smaller than Kibetza, and Kibetza is smaller than Revius, according to the mainstream poskim. Kibetza is definitely smaller than Revius, according to the mainstream poskim. Lulugma, certainly according to Tosos, Lulugma is smaller, which is how we paskin, is smaller than a Kibetza. There's another Tosos in Brachos who talks about this, Mem Testament Beis, who's also strange. I must admit that I feel like there's some mystery which needs to be solved, which I was not zocher to solve. Why are there two Tososim in Brachos that deal with the shear of Shtia for Bracha Achrona, who say something that no other Shita says, not Tosos in Yoma, not Tosos in Sukkah, not the Rush, not the Mordechai, not any of the other Rishonei Ashkenaz, and they're Soser each other, and each of them don't make sense because of Kashas that Rabbi Kiva Eger and the other Achronim ask. It's just, you know, you feel like there's some... secret, there's some secret grand unified theory answer here, which I don't have. What is the Mem Testament Beis at the end? You should be machmer and say a bracha even less than lo logmav. Clearly against our Tosos. Even if you're Yom Kippur, it wouldn't count. Yom Kippur is not the same shear as bracha. After all, for food, it's not the same shear. Food is b'kzayis, that's before Shinar Sogya, and food and Yom Kippur is kikol seves, before Shin Yoma. So therefore, drinks is also not the same. And even less than lo logma would be a shear for bracha achrona. He doesn't say what a shear for bracha achrona would be if it's less than lo logmav. So what is it? I mean, it sounds like there's a shear, it's just less than lo logmav. Right, he's compared to food. In food, the shear for bracha achrona is smaller than Yom Kippur. So too in drinks, the shear of bracha achrona is smaller than in Yom Kippur, and therefore it's less than lo logmav. So what is it? What's smaller than lo logmav? A kibetza is not smaller than lo logmav, at least according to Tosos all over Shas. A revius is not smaller than lo logmav. I'm sort of running out of candidates. You know, perhaps with the less braver, I'll say Tosa means the shear is a kazayis, which is a 50-50 possibility in the Tosasim all over Shas and the other Rishonei Ashkenaz. But it's strange that he doesn't say here. Rabbi Kiva Eger also points out the lashon here is strange. You should be machmer to make a bracha less than a kazayis. If you want to say that's the halacha, say that's the halacha. To be machmir sounds like I'm not sure, but you should be machmir. The problem is if you're not sure, then what do you do when it comes to brachos? You're machmir not to say the bracha, right? Suffer goes lahakel, not because we want to be makel. Suffer goes lahakel because we want to be machmir and bracha latala, right? If you say the bracha, you're taking a chance of bracha latala. If you don't say it, you're taking a chance of not saying the bracha. Okay, shevel tasa adif. Whenever one side might be an aveira and the other side might be a mitzvah, you always do nothing. You don't do a suffix mitzvah and a suffix aveira. So this Tosas is also strange. Again, someone has a grand unified theory that explains why Tosas and Lamates and Tosas and Memtes are so to each other without mentioning it. Why they both have kashas that the words don't make sense the way you read them. And why they're both against all the other Tosas and Rishonei Ashkenaz. I'd be very interested to hear. But for now, we will go weiter. And we'll say, what is the shear for Bracha Achrona? Maybe Tosa and Testament Beis holds as a Kazayas, which is the only option I can think of that's less than a Melo Lugmav. The Taza is a different shot there, but it's very Mechush.
Doesn't we on Lamu Tessin Al say also Lugmav should be for the Kashas?
No, the Re says that less than a shear should be burnt in Nefashos. He doesn't say more than a shear is burnt in Nefashos. Okay, so, well, the Re's not the one who talked in the beginning. When the beginning of our Tos says, Brach Shal Akhra being a shear below Lugmav, that wasn't the Re.
But the Re said less than below Lugmav.
No, he said less than a shear. Maybe he meant a different shear. We don't know. So it's not a steer in the Re. It's just funny that Tosos wouldn't point out that 10 blot apart, they are being Sosin themselves. Even if this is the Re, and this is just right next to the Re. And like almost the Re. Okay, but Lemaisa, let's see what the Shitas are here. Says the Tosfos on Lamentesim and Aleph says the Lo Lugmav. Tosos on Lamatesam on Aleph Lefi the Gra says Suffek Melo Lugmav Suffek Kibetza, but then parentheses it really doesn't make a difference. Suffek Revius. What are the other Shitas? Who did I put here? What is the Mordechai? What is the Mordechai in the Rush quote the Riyah saying? Right? They also quote, and here we definitely have a stira in the Re. The problem is that they quote the Re as not even having a havamina of lo lugmav, right? What does the Mordechai say here? The ayayayu sharmashke mesupak Re and mevarach achra afilu bekezayas o shema davka bekebetza. Suffik kezayas, suffik kebetza. Again, that's for sure a stira to our Tosos. And we're not sure how that relates to Tosin Dav Mentes and Beis. There, the Re is saying be machmir on less than a little lugmav. Here is Mesufik, whether it's more or less than a little lugmav. What is machmir Mesufik? Okay, but says the Mordechai and the Tosfos in Yoma and the Tosfos in Sukkah. They throw in one other suffix at the end. And the Rush, when the Rush here quotes the Re, the Rush in the next Perek Shlosh Shachlu, which is really about benching and therefore about Bracha Achrona, he also quotes the Re as saying, I think it's the Re. Let's see. The chen le'inyan shtia, it's even in less than a low lugmav. Uper kamadeir and stop agree if it's a kezayas or shema, it's a kebetza. Okay. The Rush, and they're all b'shem ri. They say suffik kezayas, suffik kebetza. Suffik kezayas, suffik kebetza. What other shitas do we find here? What does the Rambam hold?
Grace.
Yeah?
Isn't that that quoted the Shem Rashi on the Fantasy of the Kibetza of Food's Eyes?
What? About drinks or about foods? What?
Eating.
Okay, that's a different idea. What does the Rambam hold? Very clearly?
Grace.
The Rambam holds a Revius. And what's the maskana? What's the maskana halacha l'maisa? What's the maskana halacha l'maisa of Tosos in Yoma and Tosos in Sukkah and the Mordechai? What's the maskana of Tosos in Yoma, Tosos in Sukkah, and Tosos in the Mordechai halacha l'maisa?
Like the Rosh says, either less, either
Mordechai and Tosos in Sukkah and Tosos in Yoma say l'maisa. Yishta all pachos mikazayas, all yoser mikabetza. That makes a lot of sense. If the sum of the kazayas or kabetza, either drink less than a kazayas bivadei pater, more than a kabetza bivadei chayav, just don't drink in between, then you'll have a suffix bracha achrona. And remember, suffix bracha achronas are bad news. Suffix bracha rishonas are not a big deal. You always say shahakal in your yotze, right? Suffix bracha achrona, there's no safe option. You would just say no bracha, but that would be not ideal. If you did it, you wouldn't say bracha, so bracha l'akel, but it's better not to get into that situation, and therefore, yizahir or yirei shamayim, or it's proper, l'chachila, not to get into that situation. The rush is very strange. What's very strange about the rush? Anyone? What's very strange about the rush? Shall I read you the rush, and you'll follow and tell me what's strange? You listening? He says, Nistapik ri b'davar zem sai v'kazayis o shema v'kabetza or v'chein tov li zahir sheyishta pachas v'kazayis o revius, which is a surprise to everyone. Mehechi tasty revius, meaning he's parallel to the Mordechai and Tosin Sukkah and Yuma, who all read very nicely. Suffix zayis, suffix kabetza. Therefore, drink less than kazayis or more than kabetza. Is it therefore just less than a kazayas or more than a revius? Where did that come from? So says the Rush, lemaisa yishta pachos mikazayas o yoser me revius. And that is not clear because he hasn't mentioned the word revius until now. Meaning, don't say, what do you mean? Of course he was talking about revius because that's the sheet of the Rama. He hasn't mentioned the sheet of the Rama. He hasn't talked about it. It's a little strange.
But he knows it, so he may be taking it into account.
You don't think he would mention it first? Okay, you don't. But Lemaisa, I will admit that if you look on the bottom of the Rush, the Madani Yontif wanted to change the gears of the Rush to solve this problem. But then he pointed out, I found the Shut Rush who said the exact same thing with the exact same Mahalach. And to change the gersa in two different books of the Rush, that's already a little hard. So he sort of retracted from that. We're not going to change the gersa of the of the Rush. I mean, it's two totally different books: the Shut and the and the Pesker Rush or the Helchos Rush. So apparently, what did the Rush really think? The Rush really sort of had this stealth shita. That what was the stealth shita of the Rush? Oh, the Beis Yosef, by the way, answers the Rush, says, no problem. A revius is a kibitza. And therefore, the Rush is saying something very logical. However, all they're going to point out, that's pashut not true. There's a lot of things which there's room for interpretation and different opinions about. The one thing there is no room for interpretation is whether a revius is the same as a kibitza. It's mefurish and shas, that a revius is a revius of what, by the way? A load. Right, the revius is a revius of a log. There's another similar shear in shas, which is a rova. What's a rova?
Rova.
A rova kav. But that's a rova. This revius, in any case, it wouldn't help us here. A revius is a quarter of a log, hence it's called a revius. It's mefurish all over shas that there are six beitzim to a log. There's no room for ambiguity. Therefore, a beitza is two-thirds of a revius. A revius is one and a half kibetzim. There's no room for ambiguity. The Beis Yosef rescues the Rush by saying, a kibetza is a revius. Either the Beis Yosef was a fool.
No.
Either the Beis Yosef was an ignoramus she'en kamohu. No. Or the Beis Yosef meant something a little more complicated. Okay, there are those who said, oh, Beis Yosef, you're an ignoramus. You're totally wrong. okay, maybe some of the Achronim in his days could accuse him of that. I can't believe Beis Yosef actually meant that a Revius is a kibetza, meaning that that's really, that's a mistake. I'm being realistic. I know there's a lot of Amratzim nowadays, but that's the mistake that, like, if a Shir Hay guy made, I'd be very, very surprised. Beis Yosef couldn't have actually meant it. He obviously meant... Could Beis Yosef not express himself clearly? Yes, you know, that could happen. He obviously was not expressing himself clearly and meant something else. What that something else is, we'll have to try to figure out. But the Rush clearly, in the end, has some sort of suffix. Kizayis, suffix kibetza. We're not going to suffix revius. Right, clearly that's what he says in the end, because he says you should drink less than Kizayis and more than Revius. So he's assuming it's Kizayis, he told us. He's assuming it might be Kibetza, he told us. He's obviously at the end throwing in a curveball that he's even assuming it might be a Kibetza, it might be Revius, and we'll have to figure out why. Chaim says because he's Choshesh for the Rambam, all of a sudden without mentioning him. Anything's possible, but I'm not inclined to believe that. But... let's mention that in a second. Chaim, I'm going to ask you to clear up some real estate here. Chaim is my real estate agent. Okay, these are the shitas. Halacha l'maisa, by the way, I'll just tell you very pasha. The Shulchan Aruch says twice, the maskana, the rush. Drink less than a kezias or more than a revius. That way you get out of the suffix. He says it once in Simon Reish Yud in Bracha Achrona. He says it also in Simon Kovtzadi in Hilchos Koshel Bracha. He says when you drink your Koshel Bracha, since mainly you're drinking more than a kezias because you need to drink a little lugmav, drink a whole revius to get out of the suffix. The only time you would not have to drink a revius to get out of the suffix is Kiddush. Because there's no bracha achrona in Kiddush anyway, because you're guilty of benching, so then you don't have to drink a revius. But for the kos after Birkas Hamazon, or what?
Unless you're at Kiddush.
Correct. Unless you're at Kiddush, correct. For the kos after Birkas Hamazon, or other cases, then once you're drinking a little lugmav, you should drink a. Or the kos of Havdalah. Once you're drinking low lugmav, you should drink revius to get out of the suffix. And if stam you're drinking, once you're drinking a kezias, you should drink revius to get out of the suffix. That's how we paskin alacha l'maisa. If you do drink more than kezias, less than revius, then don't make a bracha because suffix brachas lahakel.
This is assuming that low lugmav is different than a revius.
This is assuming that low lugmav is different than a revius. Correct. That's certainly how we paskin. Meaning there's a bit of machlokes whether below lugmav means one cheekful or two cheeks full. It's very clear that one cheekful is less than a revius, and we possibly below lugmav means one cheekful. It's very clear it's less than a revius. There's some discussion, perhaps below lugmav for koshel bracha, like Yom Kippur, is subjective to the person and not the average person, in which case, if you are Andre the Giant, it will be greater than a revius, but that's not a common case.
If someone drinks a little wine in a lot of mazonos, can he mention the Allah Geffen in the Bracha Achrona?
That is a great question. It's Mefurash in the Shulchan Aruch. It's Mefurash in the Mechaber that if you have for Allah Mechia and Suffolk of Allah Geffen, you should not add it in. But the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Achrona is explaining what he means is that Lechatchila, you should avoid the Suffolk and not use this as a solution. But if you're stuck, you should add it in. So interestingly, it's not a l'chachila answer to just add it into an alamechia, although you might have thought it is, but that's clear. It's not a l'chachila solution, but b'di'eved, you don't say suffix brachas l'hakel, instead you add it in.
Just a clarify about that, it's because alamechia might have to, it's not the other way around, right? If you know you have enough wine, but you're not sure if you have enough mazonos, then you wouldn't.
No, it's all the same. It's all the same. If you know you have enough wine, you're not sure if you have enough mazonos, l'chachila eat more mazonos to get out of the suffix, b'di'eved, say alamechia together with your alagefen. Right, basically, the rule is adding another part to your bracha achmein shalosh is not a l'chach. We might have thought it's a l'chachil ideal solution. The l'chavis says it's not a l'chachil ideal solution because l'chachil you still shouldn't add something that might not be necessary to your bracha achmein shalosh. But b'di'eved, it is a solution and it's better than nothing.
You said that kibetza is a revius, and what it means is that they're both svia, one svia yishta, one svia.
Not only could you say that, But I haven't counted. Maybe you're Masif to count it. I think most Achronim do say that. Or at the very least, very, very many Achronim say that. The first person I found, okay, let's just try to figure out what's shot in the rush. Where did the rush get to Revius without mentioning it beforehand? Now, one option is, he's throwing a chaim, says, and he'll probably find someone in the sift to agree with
nobody,
him.
Nobody.
Okay. So only chaim said, and no one else ever thought of this.
I don't know.
That maybe he's throwing in the Rambam at the last second. The Rush clearly had a copy of the Rambam. He's throwing in the Rambam at the last second without saying anything. Like, he's talking within the remember, in the Masor Bali Tosfos, no one ever, forget about the Graz emendation here, no one ever mentioned the word Revius in any of the Chachmei Ashkenaz that I have noticed. I didn't check all of that. But, you know, the Mordechai and the Rush until this line and the Tosos anywhere in Shas, no one mentioned the possibility of Revius. That's a pure Rambam possibility. It could be that he was talking within Bali Tosos, within Chachmei Ashkenaz, etc. And the last line, he says, but we should also think that the Chachmei Sarad and throws in the Rambam without telling you he's throwing in the Rambam. I would have no problem if he told you, if he says, here's the whole thing, but Lamaisa, we should also be choshish for the Rambam. Mm-hmm. If he doesn't say it, I find it unlikely. So let's figure out where the rush is coming from. I mean, how are you Miyashev? The fact that the rush started with one thing and ended with something else. If you're not going to be Megia, which I don't think you want to. So Chaim says that he threw in the Rambam at the last minute. I'm just not inclined to believe that he would throw in the Rambam at the last minute without saying something. Chaim says he threw in the Rambam at the end. I'm just not inclined to think he would do that without saying something. He says either Kezias or Kebetza. He means either Kezias or Kebetza. And when he says Revius, he still means Kezias or Kebetza somehow. How could that be? So the Levush says, not the Beis Yosef at all, says the one is the two is the Levush. Levush says the Levush, it's based on Kezias. Maybe the Shir is Kezias. But a Kezias is a Revius. How is a Kezias a Revius? And Kezias equals Revius. Kezias, how is a Kezias equal to Revius?
No.
Because the Gemara says, now here it's tricky, the Gemara says this about Dam, and the Achronim don't like the Levush because the Gemara is Masuchim with the Shuret Yayin. The Gemara says that if you take a Revius of Dam and you let it dry out and congeal, it will turn into a Kezias. It will shrivel up to a Kezias. Now, says Levush, the problem is that the Gemara doesn't necessarily say this. Likewise for wine, if you take a Revius of wine and let it, I guess, dehydrate it, as it were, right? Let it evaporate and congeal, it will turn into a Kezias. Mm-hmm. So really, a Revius of wine is a Kezias. So it means sub Kezias of Kebetza. But then he points out, but Lamaisa, Kezias might be a Revius. And therefore, one should be machmir that it might be a Revius. Why? Because Revius Yayin Shenikrash Nase Kezias. And therefore, it's really a Kezias. There's a lot of problems with the Levush. No one likes the Levush.
Yeah, I want to take a glass of water. I'm not going to make it rougher because if I leave it out, it's all going to evaporate.
Correct. It's a little funny. Not to mention the fact that, oh, well, why don't we require the bigger shear that would evaporate and turn into a kibetza? So the Divrei Chamuda says, maybe because a Revius will evaporate and become a kibetza. I don't remember if we said this in the Madana Yontif or the Divrei Chamudos. This was in the, Madana Yontif. But this seems very difficult. Says the Beis Yosef, again, I'm assuming the Beis Yosef was not an ignoramus. Says the Beis Yosef, no, it's based on Kibitza, and a Revius really equals a Kibitza. Ah, he can't mean a Revius equals a Kibitza, because that's a rookie mistake that the Beis Yosef would not make. I'm not saying the Beis Yosef is perfect. Only Hashem is perfect. But Yosef could make a mistake. But he can't make this kind of mistake. You know, he can make a subtle mistake in Svara or forget some super obscure makor. But he can't, you know, he can't make a rookie mistake. So what does he mean? So the Madane Yontif suggests on the bottom of the Rush that what he means is that a revius of wine will evaporate and become a kibitza.
Which is
what?
It's a little easier.
It's a little easier, but first of all, I have no idea. I've never tried it. But it seems to be against the Gemara. The Gemara says blood, a revius, will congeal into a kazayas. Blood is thicker than wine, as the Pitgam almost says. But blood is clearly thicker than wine, right? So I understand. Blood, the revius, will become this tiny thing. And wine, which is much thinner, the revius will become this much bigger thing.
Yeah.
Who knows? You know, sometimes things work funny that way. But I find it hard to imagine. What does he mean? What the Madane Yontif says is that revius yayin nikrash ad kibetza. I have trouble believing that. What the Prisha, I think what I put the Prisha, and then all the Achronim, the later Achronim follow the Prisha here. What the Prisha says is that, no, you have to read, there's a line in the Tosafim, in Sukkah and Yoman, in the Rush, which we skipped. What did the Rush say? I'll read you the whole Rush. He says, okay, sounds like less than lo lugmav. That's Tosa Memphis and Bays. Then he says, "Perkam de irvin is stopping Rabbi Yitzchak Adarvaz and Tzagi because I is b'shtiyah kamo b'achila." Oshema, what's this to studim? Why suffix I suffix gebeta? Act as a drasha. Rav Meir has a drasha l'chora nasmachta, but we're not sure. V'achalta v'savata. Who remembers the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda Rav Meir about the shear of benching? Right?
Kazayas.
Right. Rav Meir says kazayas, and we follow him. Rabbi Yehuda says kibetza. Okay. Who followed Rabbi Yehuda in the story in the Mishnah and Sukkah? Chafav? The story? Rav Tzadok. Rav Tzadok ate less than a kibetza.
Oh, yeah.
And he did three things. He ate it outside the Sukkah, and he ate it in a napkin without Mekilas Yadayim. And he didn't bench afterwards because he followed Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says kibetza, Rabbi Meir says kazayis. Okay, the Torah says v'achalta v'savata v'rachta. The achalta means in kol tar kula?
Eating. Achila, salads.
No, what amount?
Beitza.
What amount does v'achalta mean in kol tar kula?
Kazayis.
Ba'erev tochlu matzos, how much matzah do you have to eat? V'achluas habasa b'laylazeh, how much carbon pesach do you have to eat? Kazayis. All these things are mefurish all over Shas, that achil is b'kazayis. Or, on the flip side, lo sochlu kol nevela, how much nevela would you eat it if and then you'd get malchus? A kazayis. V'achalta is a kazayis b'kuli alma. The question is what is savata?
Yeah.
Rabbi Yehuda says, V'achalta kazayis, v'savata means you need more than kazayis, you need kibetza, which is a sheer sviya. He doesn't mean a kibetza, everyone's always full when they eat a kibetza. That's obviously not true. What he means is, v'savata adds a little more to v'achalta, and there's a certain feeling of sviya that comes with the kibetza, because the kibetza fills your throat and gives you a certain degree of satisfaction, of satiation, rather. But what does Rabbi Meir say? He can't darshin v'savata to mean a kibetza. So how does he have to darshan it? V'achalta.
He does darshan it.
V'savata says Rabbi Yehuda kazayas kibetza, meaning crossing out the kazayas and the shear is a kibetza. How does Rabbi Meir darshan it? V'achalta is kazayas, but he wants to stay that way. So what does he darshan with v'savata? V'mar b'shtia. L'rabos shtia. Shtia is not achila, but it can still cause you some feeling of satiation. And therefore, you have to make a bracha achrona even after shtia. How do we know to make a bracha achrona after shtia? Rabbi Yehuda might just say shtia before achila. That's found many places in the Chumash. But no, Rameer says for the extra word v'savata. Now, what's the suffix? The suffix is, what's the suffix of, the Mordechai doesn't say what the suffix is, whether it's a kazayis or kabeitza. I think the Tosim all over Shas, do explain what the suffix is. The Rashi explains what the suffix is. What's the suffix? The suffix is, it's the word for savata, but it's a riboy to extend the achila. So how do you take this? What's the suffix of the re? Do you say lerabos shtia keachila equals kezayis? Maybe it's lerabos shtia. That shtia is the same as achila, just like achila is b'kezayis, shtia is b'kezayis. The word for savata just comes to expand achila to drinks. So it's b'kezayis. Or maybe, but shti and achila are the same shear. Or maybe shti and achila are a different shear. Or maybe no. That food is ba'achila, but drink, let me say a little better. What was the suffix? How do you get the gzayis kebetza? Maybe the shear of ochel is achila, but the shear of shtia is svia. Maybe you really need svia for the shear shtia. Do you? Does Rav Meir read svia as forget the word svia? It's just an extra word to add something like achila. Or does he say no? I also read the word svia bekevetza. Just as not a kevetza food. Food is mixayis. It's a kevetza drink. And Rav Meir discriminates. He has first-class citizens and second-class citizens. Eating, that's a first-class citizens. Achila of food is mechayv bracha achrona. Drinking is second-class. So bet. Eating drinks is not mechayv bracha achrona, only svia of drinks. So the question is, he takes svia of kebeta like Rabbi Yehuda? Right, and then what's the shear? You know what? Let me just make myself some more room and make this a little clearer. Again, the Achalta, Visavata, Rev Yehuda says, Kezayas Ochel, not Ochel, Ochel, Kibetza Ochel. And therefore, he crosses this out. What does Rabbi Meir say? Rabbi Meir says, no, kezayis ochel, and that's the din. Everyone knows we bench, slash brachach mein sholosh, slash bor nefashos, after eating kezayis, maisim chol yom. What is v'savata? That means shtia. Right? Mashke. Let's call it mashke. But what does he mean by mashke? Which adjacent box do you judge it by? On the one hand, do you say, it's extending ochel to mashke, so it's a kezayis mashke. That is one side of the re-suffic. Or do you say, no, he's parallel to Rabbi Yehuda, or Yehuda said it meant the kebetz of ochel. Is it being parallel to his ochel? His mashke is parallel to his ochel? Or his mashke is parallel to Rabbi Yehuda's ochel? The same words. Or do you say, a kebetz of mashke? That's a valid suffic, and this is... this is the suffix of the re. That's how we get suffix kezayis, suffix kebeitza. Now, my question is, he adds one line, though. Let's read the line he adds. Nistafim would be the dover said, Saga be kezayis b'shtia kamo b'achila, Oshema came in the darsh Rabbi Savata z'ushtia b'ay kebeitza, k'didarsh Rabbi Yehuda v'yachalta v'savata in z'vi apachmi kebeitza. Oshema, he throws in another Oshema. Yeshachal bin Svi la dachila le Svi de Shtia. Maybe Svi of Achila is different from Svi of Shtia. Then he ends looking totally zar to have Pach Mikzayas or more than Ervius. Now in Tosos and Sukkah and Yoma, maybe the Svi of Shtia is less than a Kibetza. But he doesn't say that. So what the Prisha and most Achronim say, and they say this is what the Beis Yosef meant, that no, the feeling of Svi of a Kibetza of food is different for drinks. For drinks, you need a revius. Maybe that's pshat. So he says, what's pshat? How are miyashev the rush? What do they think Beis Yosef means? He doesn't mean physically,
Alpi, the science of the chefta, the food, a kebetza be hydrated as ervius, and ervius dehydrated congealed as a kebetza. No, that's silly. Rather, what the Prisha and most Achronim say, and I think this is definitely the best shot in the rush, if you want to explain a strange rush, explain it based on the words beforehand. O Shema, Yesh Lechalib, Tzviya D'Achilo, Tzviya D'Shtiya. Who knows what Tzviya of Shtiya could be? Maybe take this tzad, but who says it's kibitza? Maybe it's whatever the appropriate Tzviya is. So, what is he saying? He says, Ulai Shtiyas Revius is Masbia Kemo Achilas Kibitza. After all, in Yom Kippur, when we need not Tzviya, but Yishuv Das, there's a different shear of Achila and Shtiyah. So maybe in Tzviya, there's also a different shear of Achila and Shtiyah. And therefore, all of a sudden, he throws a Revius because he says, maybe it's Kzayis, maybe it's Kibitza, but the reason it's Kibitza is because of a feeling of Tzviya. Who knows how much drink gives you a feeling of Tzviya? Maybe it's more. Maybe it's any amount that I can think of. So, Kzayis, Revius is the biggest reasonable possibility I have. So that's why he throws in Revius. I think that's probably the best shot in the rush. But obviously, no one can promise because based on the lines in the rush, yeah, Tosa says maybe it's less than a kibetza. Some of the rush just says maybe it's different. Yeah. Maybe it's less. Maybe it's more. Maybe it's the same. Who knows? So to be Yotze, all the sfeikos, you get a Revius. Now, let me come back for a second and summarize the svaras. What are the... There are three possible shiurim running around. Kazayas, Malolugmav, and Revius. Right? What is the svaras hadavar?
Why not based also?
I'm kibitza. Sorry, I meant four, of course. Thank you. What is the svara? What is the svara to be a kazayas? The svara to be a kazayas is easy because it's midin achila. Oh, shtia is not the same as achila. No, but shtia b'chlal achila, the Gemara says in Shavuos and other places. And what does the Rambam say in Hilchos Trumos? Ish ki yochal kodesh bishgaga. If you eat a kazayis of truma, you're chayev chomesh, or if you drink a kazayis of truma. Achila is bikzayis, and here it says, v'achalta v'savato v'irachta. Right? Why? Because the din, let's say better, the mechayev of bracha achrona, who achila, the mechayev is achila, and since the mechayev is achila, shtia bichlal achila, and here we're basing ourselves on the, I brought two achronim here, many achronim say this, the whole big sugya. The Rambam has steers all over the place, whether you're chayev for drinking a revius or chayev for drinking a kazayas. For example, by Nazar gets malkos for drinking a revius, that's clear all over Shas, but the Rambam thinks for eating truma, you're chayev for eating a kazayas. So all the achronim say basically the same thing. When the Torah says don't eat, drinking counts as eating, but it's b'kazayas. When the Torah says don't drink, that's a different inyan, and that is b'revius. So that's a kazayas that really the machayev is achila, shtiyas b'chal achila, but it's part of achila. What's another option? Another option is kibetza, right? What's the svar of kibetza? We know what the svar of kibetza is. The svar of kibetza is that the machayev of bracha achrona on shtia is tzviya, the achalto v'savata, like the drasha of Rav Meir, kedrashas Rabbi Meir, usviya is bekebeitza kedrashas Rabbi Yehuda. Right, you combine, you learn Rabbi Meir, he's based on Rabbi Yehuda, etc. What's the svara of Melo Lugbav? So we know what the svara, where does Melo Lugbav come from? So midaraisa, we find the shear of Melo Lugbav where? By? And what's the category that it's expressing?
What's the yardstick on Yom Kippur that we measure as a kikosevis of food or lulugma of drink? Yishuvei daita, yishuvei das. Meheichi tasted that bracha achron on drink is based on yishuvei das, but bracha achron on food is not. Bracha on food is a kazayis, right? That's what on Dari and Tosdaf and Tezmei says. Don't say mulugmav. That's based on yishuvei das from Yom Kippur, and bracha achron is different than Yom Kippur. And the haraya food. So lenis daiti. It seems to be a good kasha. After all, why do you learn yishuvei das from Yom Kippur for the bracha achron on drink? We know that for food, it's not the same as Yom Kippur, which is exactly what Tosfos says in Afim Tesim and Beis. L'chora, the answer is that our Tosfos is really based on the same initial logic as Tosfos on Yoma and Tosfos in Sukkah and the Mordechai and the Rush. Nira l'nias daiti to say that the Mechai, you're welcome to make a different suggestion, but the Mechai of Av, bracha achrona al shtia isvia, like kanal, like the sheet of kibetza, but Tosos knows the shear svia on drink is not necessarily the same as on food, and is trying to figure out what it is, and the best estimate is that the shear svia on drink is the shear of yishuvei das on drink. Now, I know the shear svia on food is not the same shear of yishuvei das on food. One is kibetza, one is kibetza, which are almost the same. But the shear svia bishtia nilmad mishir yishuv hadas bishtia. Okay, that's my theory. I can't prove it, right? But that's my theory as to the svar of the lulugmav, that it's really the same as kibetza, just what? Tosos and Yoma Tosos Sukkah say maybe Svia and Shtia is smaller than Kibetza. Maybe it's smaller than Kibetza. But not maybe. Maybe they thought for sure it was smaller than Kibetza. And it's a Melo Lugmav. Otherwise, I'm not sure why Yishuvei Das, like why should Yishuvei Das be relevant for Shtia and not for Achila? The answer is, starting in the same place, V'chalta Zavata. Food is Achila. Drink means Shtia. Who says Shtia and drink is Kibetza? Maybe it's more, maybe it's less. Or Tosos thought it was less than Melo Lugmav. That's the closest we find. What's the svara of Revius? What's the svara of Revius? So here, here we have, give me a second, and we have one strange svara of Revius. That is the Lavush, right? The Lavush says, because Revius is really a kazayis. Okay. Says the Lavush that it congeals to a kezias, and therefore it's really kezias. But no one agrees with him because the Gemara seems to have an indefinite conclusion as to whether a revius of wine congeals to a kezias or not. So what's the svar of revius? I will read you. I meant to put on the makoros. I apologize. I'll read you Kesef Mishnah. Says the Kesef Mishnah in Brachos Perek Beis. In Brachos Perek Beis, Halacha Yud Beis, says the Kesef Mishnah. I think it's Yud Beis. Says the Kesef Mishnah. Umasha Kosav Rabbeinu Shur Damashkin Bervias. He repeats there what he said in the first parak. Taimo mi da Ashkechon bi Alma le'inyan achilas isurin dechayev b'shtias mashkin asurin b'rvias domi de oklam exayis. Because when it comes to isurim, the shear is revias. So just like by isurim, the shear malchus is revias, so too by bracha achrona, the shear is revias. Just like by treif, if you eat a kezayis and a veil, you get malchus. And just like a nuzzer eats a kezayis of grapes, gets malchus, drinks a revius of wine, gets malchus. Likewise, if you eat a kezayis, say bracha achrona, if you drink a revius, say bracha achrona, he learns it from Isurim. Now, all the achrona point out, it's not true of all Isurim. Some Isurim, the Rambam says, you drink a kezayis. It's true of Isurim, where the Torah says don't drink, right? The Torah says don't drink wine, right? Miyayim shechar yazir, chomot yayim chomot shechar lo yishteh. So, the Kesef Mishnah, and I think this is really shot in the Rambam, Kesef Mishnah says, Kimo Isure Shtia, meaning, who says that the Mechayiv Bracha Achron is Achila, and then Shtiyah is Mechal Achila? No, the Mechayiv Bracha Achron is Achila, and the Mechayiv Bracha Achron is Shtiyah. Maybe that's what we learned from Mechal to Visavata. Visavata l'Rabbel Shtiyah. I mean, for the Rambam it's Drabbanan, but nonetheless, that the Mechayiv is Achila or Shtiyah, meaning as opposed to this, the Mechayiv of Bracha Achrona is Achila or Shtia. And therefore, Achila, Bitoras Achila is Bikzayas. Shtia, Bitoras Shtia is Bervias. I know Shtia, Bitoras Achila is Bikzayas. That's what the Achrona, who did I put here? I gave you the Meiser Kech and the Sas Emes because they were the shortest, but I could have given you another 20 Achronim to say the same thing, just in more than two lines. So ultimately, what the Kesef Mishnah says is no, this side of Tosfos is right. It's just like Ochel. There's nothing with Smiya. But it's not just like Ochel that it's Achila. It's Shtia. I mean, the Geder is not Achila. The Geder is Shtia. It's not Achila. It's not Smiya. It is Shtia. But I'll point out something interesting. According to the Prisha and most Achronim Shana of the Rosh, Lefi most achronim, at least. Lefi most achronim, at least. He has a totally different way to get to Revius. What's his totally different way to get to Revius? Not a Maisa Shtia. According to the achronim, he's not getting to Revius through Maisa Shtia. His only two possibilities are Achila and Svia. He doesn't have this possibility for Maisa Shtia. It's either Shtia b'toras Achila, b'kzayis, or Shtia b'toras Svia. And what he's saying is, no, the Mechayav for Bracha Achrona al Shtia Husvia Usvias Mashkin Usvias Mashkin is Berevius, meaning what I'm claiming is that the Rush might come to the same conclusion as the Rambam for a totally different reason. The Levush has a different reason. But the Levush is always saying, the Levush would probably just, I mean, he would say different than the Rambam. He'd say it's not that there's a Shir Shti and a Shir Achila, it's that everything's a Kzayis, just liquids, Ervis the Kzayis. He would say Ervis is a Kzayis. The Rambam would say, no, because it's a Din of Shtia. Where does they Shti in the Chumash? They should make a Din of Shtia. They have Sabata. Not for Savata, we include drinks as Achila. The Savata, we also have a din of Shtia. But the Rush might say, no, Revius is a din in Svia, not a din in Achila or Shtia. Basically, is it a din in Achila? Congeals to Exias, and then the... For the Levush, the Mechayev is Achila, right? It's Achila the Kzayas, and Revius is a Kzayas in disguise. So basically, we paskin l'chumer Revius, right? We paskin l'maisa, don't make a bracha achron until you drink a Revius, misafik. Why Revius? Levush says Revius is Achila because Revius is a Kzayas. The Kesemish says for the Rambam, he doesn't say these words, but it clearly means, no, Revius is Shtia. And there's a Mechayiv of Achila and a Mechayiv of Shtiyah and Birch Tamazon. While for the Rush, it seems the Mechayiv is Sviya. The Echav of Savata l'Rabbel Shtiyah. But Sviya is Berbius. Could there be a Nafgamina maybe between these different ways of understanding the Shir Revius? I thought maybe you could say a Nafgamina for the famous Machlokas between the Taz and the Magen Avraham about schnapps. What if you drink a shot glass of schnapps? That's less than a Revius, Lekuli Alma. But it's enough schnapps, right? Meaning there's a reason they make shot glasses to drink schnapps, because you're supposed to have a shot. I don't mean there aren't people who drink many shots, but a shot is an appropriate amount for someone to enjoy as much as they enjoy a glass of wine or a mug of beer or what have you, or... for some of us, a glass of Coca-Cola. For those of us who, I guess, where they went to college, they never learned to drink, strangely enough. So the Taz has a big chiddush, says, oh, of course, you have a shot of whiskey and you say a bracha achrona, because that's a shear for whiskey. And the Magen Avraham says, no, that's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard. You can't start making new halachos. The way halacha works, there's one rule. And that's how we paskin. Some people have a double kula. They paskin like the Taz, which most achrona are against, Mishnah Berurah is against. And they extend the Taz to something which the Taz himself didn't necessarily say, may or may not have meant. Say, not only did the Taz mean that a shot of whiskey is a shear for bracha achrona, it's also a shear for kosher bracha. And therefore, you can make kiddush on a shot of whiskey. All those people make kiddush on a shot of whiskey are based on two assumptions. A, the Taz is right, that you say bracha achrona on a shot of whiskey. And B, he didn't only mean bracha achrona, he also meant kosher bracha, which he didn't say explicitly, but he discusses it connected to kosher bracha. So perhaps he meant to imply. Okay, most poskim don't like that. I think the Amcha is made called that way. My parents' old shul in Fairlawn, New Jersey, the rabbi liked making kiddush on whiskey, but didn't want to be makel any kulas. So he just took a regular becher full of whiskey and drank it. Drove coast at the very least. you get used to it, so it doesn't make a roshim on you. The drush was before him, but it's all a matter of building up tolerance. Anyway, but that's really more halachically proper. Anyway, getting back to this, if you look at the Lashon of the Mishnah Berurah, when the Mishnah Berurah discusses this, he says, in Siman Kaf Tzadi, he says that should the washing make amotzi before your shnapps also helps with the, not letting you get to you too much. First of all, the Taz Pasim will look up like our Tosos, interestingly, but that's not our topic now. He says that all the Achronim agree with him. And then he says, oh, his kimu all the Achronim? His kimu the Achronim, right? That's a strong lashon. The ein chelok bein shar mashkin bein yain saraf. That's whiskey. Avali yain saraf v'yas v'day to the ein shivok v'yis. Even though you have yishav adas and less than a revias in yain saraf. Dulo chilkochom b'shirim dulo ketaz l'kaman b'sim reishiyot. So interestingly, what's the Taz saying? The Taz saying, my subjective experience, a shot of whiskey does what a glass of wine does. But objectively, it's not a shear. Subjective versus objective. Now, subjective versus objective could be a meta halachic machlokas. There's always, the constant tension within halacha is, is how much do we make a little plug versus how much do we take into account each situation. That's an underlying tension in Dalad Chelkei Shulchan Aruch. Whether you're, from Nizkei Shcheinem to, from Nizkei Shcheinem to Hilchas Gittin to Hilchas Brachos to, everything from Simlas Isha down to Yayinesech, down to Avelos. There's always a tension. Do you make general rules, low pug, that the halach system works smoother that way, or do you try to take every situation into account based on the spirit of the law, spirit versus letter? It could just be there's a spirit versus letter of the law, meta halachic machlokes. The Taz says, no, let's take every case individually and see what makes sense. The Magen Avraham says, you can't run a halacha that way. You have to have general rules. But it also could be that there's not a meta halachic machlokes. This is a specific machlokes. If your shear of vias is like the rush based on svia and yishav adas, then what's the whole point of the rush? A shear is not the same for everything. After all, a kavetza of food is masvia like a revias of drink. We're already saying everything is masvia differently. Okay, so it depends which drink. But a shot of schnapps is masvia like a revias of other drinks. Once you're already based on saying this much and this is that much, the Taz certainly has a strong makom, unless you're going to object meta halachically. But if you're going to say it's just the sheer achilo, the sheer shtia, that has nothing to do with how you feel. That has to do with the objective action you did. So what I want to suggest is that maybe a nafgamina of how you take the sheer revius is if you take the Rambam / Kesef Mishnah Levush, then you should say that it is an objective shear even Yayin Saraf is Bervius. But if you're going to take the Taz's approach, the reason we got to Revius is because we really wanted a feeling of Svia. And when do you feel really satiated? When you drink a Revius of liquids or eat a kibitza of foods. So once food is different than liquid, so schnapps is also different than everything else. Right? Then you would say, no, maybe it's subjective. Again, unless you're going to have a metahalachic objection. You could say the Taz is right, but metahalachically, we don't like subjectivity and we like a low flow. Subjective shear. It's based on how you feel, not the objective action. And therefore, the shear of Yayin Saraf is interesting. Well, how do you say it? I don't know how to say it. Shot. Is, you know.
Kosit.
Ah, great. Big kosit. Yes, a kosit is a shot glass, right?
Standard drink.
What?
Standard drink.
Yes, and what he means is a standard drink. So I'm claiming the Taz is a little bit how you feel. You feel differently when you drink whiskey. And the Taz says, if you drink a piece of whiskey, that's disgusting. At least at once, you know, that's most people can't handle that, etc. It says that doesn't make you feel good. You feel good when you drink a shot glass of whiskey, like when you drink a glass of wine. If you drink a shot glass of wine, you wouldn't feel good. You would feel chaser. Correct. That's what interesting. He brings in Yishav Hadas here, right? So Yishav Hadas is somewhat more in between. So one could say, even if he's right, Svi is about filling your belly, not about feeling like you've really had something. So Yishav Ayin, the psychological versus physiological aspects of Svia. You know, Svia is funny in that way, right? Someone did an experiment once. They decided to invent a new diet that whenever they were hungry for food, they would just go like this. They would masticate, that's the right word, right? They would go like this and imagine they were eating the food, and then they would feel full and move on, and it worked. So it's tricky in these things. I never tried it myself, but I read it in the New York Times, and we know that everything it says in the New York Times is true. We don't have. You only finished last Makoros.
Yeah, amazing.
Amazing. I finished last Makoros. I get a gold star. Right here on my
calendar.
What?
We did number one.
No, I didn't. Oh, I did number one. Yes, thank you. Okay, anyway, if anyone has a question, I'll let you ask privately because I want to let everyone go. I apologize that I'm a little behind. I haven't gotten to Shear 29 Makoros yet. But next time, maybe I'll just fill in. There was actually a part 5 I didn't put on 29 just because I figured once I finish the page, I shouldn't be too unrealistic. But I'll add page 5 to Shear 29, and then we'll go on a little in the Gemara. So next year, Mitzvah Hashem, we'll finish page, quote unquote, page 29, add one or two more details to the Lumdus of Bracha Achrona. We're going to come back to a lot of these ideas, and then go on to the story of Bar Kafra and his students. The fascinating story of Bar Kafra and his students. So, basically what we'll also try to cover is the Gemara and Daf Lamed Tesef and Aleph until about halfway down, until the end of the story with Bar Kafra and the laughing student. Right? What's the title? Bar Kafra and the laughing student. A tragedy in one act. A portion there, Rabbi Kiva Eger. Read Rashi carefully and figure out why Rabbi Kiva Eger. Is wrong. We'll pick up with that next time. Don't feel bad if it takes you a while. It took me 10 reads.
Just, yes. About the shot of liquor.
Recording stopped.
If Rabbi